This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
In the precious name of Jesus, and everybody say in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Praise everybody. Amen. So glad you're here this morning. You may be seated. We continue with our series we've entitled Winning. And I felt it was important to talk about this concept because too many of us are going through things. Too many of us are going through situations. And sometimes when life is challenging and when things are not going our way and when you faced unexpected tragedy and when you faced attacks and when you faced failure in life, it's difficult to sometimes be able to step back and begin to analyze, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're trying to show me? What is it you're trying to guide me towards? And make no mistake, God is actively engaged in your life. Let me say that again. God is actively engaged in your life. For those of you that are maybe here for the first time, it wasn't just because somebody invited you. It wasn't just because you heard about us. God was working. God was setting things up to begin to position you for a better life, for a blessed life. And I realized that, you know, sometimes all of us want to win at life. All of us want to live a good life. We want to be good people. We want to be good individuals in every area of our lives. But the reality is that sometimes we struggle because it literally feels like there's a war going on within us. Some of you are too young to know good cartoons back in the day. But remember those cartoons where whatever the character might have been, it happened in different cartoons. But can you remember some of those cartoons where, you know, the character, whether it was Jerry or whether it was Woody Woodpecker didn't struggle with this as much, I don't think. You know, you'd have the character, and you have a little devil on his shoulder saying, hit him, beat him up. And the little angel would show up on the other shoulder. Don't do it. Be nice. Anybody remember those cartoons? If you haven't seen them, go back and watch. That's good cartoons. The reason why it was funny is because it's true. Like most comedy, it's true that a lot of us have this war going on within us. How many of you know for a fact that there is a very evil, mean person somewhere deep down in some corner of your heart? I'm giving you time to confess it Sunday morning. Don't pretend you're all holy. Right? And then at the same time, have you ever had a day or a moment where you do something so good, wholesome, spiritual, and holy that you surprise yourself? Like you start looking for puddles of water, see if you can walk on them. Like, wow, where did that goodness come from? So I think if you pay attention to yourself, and that's what we talked a few weeks ago about minding your own business. If you pay attention to yourself, you have discovered by now that we have this capacity, this ability to have both things be happening at the same time. That's not new. The Apostle Paul, if you read Romans chapter 7, good little homework for you. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talks about literally there's this war within. Like, I want to do right, but I end up doing wrong. Anybody say amen to that? And then when I say, I'm no longer going to do the wrong thing, I still do it. Anybody relate to that? So he's like, I know what's good, but like sometimes I end up doing what I know it's wrong. And then when I say, I will no longer do the wrong thing, like I go back and do it again. This is the Apostle Paul saying there's this war within. And the reality is that there is a war within. Here is the part you might not know. in this war within of good and evil, and we all have a sinful nature. Matter of fact, we're born with a sinful nature. Amen? So without God, we lean towards, we incline towards sin. Said differently, you know, when you were a kid, I remember Broadway here, the store Broadway back in the day were the only ones with an escalator. And I remember as a kid, that was the challenge, right? Can you go up on the downward escalator before security caught you? Right? Can you make it to the top? Anybody ever make it to the top? Anybody, anywhere, not just there, anywhere. Like, anybody ever make it to the top? Like, you know, I'm, oh, there we go. I know where my rebellious ones are. The reality is, unless you're climbing faster than the natural downgrade progression of the escalator, even if you're going at a slow pace up, but if the escalator is going down faster than you're going up, you're going to go down. Amen? That's your sinful nature. Your sinful nature naturally goes down. Unless you're working harder than your sinful nature, you're going to go down into sinful places. Oh, I'm just going to sit here and see what happens. No, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The escalator is going down. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. No, don't wait on the Lord. Chase after him. Oh, we'll see what the Lord should. No. Understand, this escalator is going down. If you do nothing, you're going down with it. So your effort has to be greater than the natural progression downward. How many, don't have to say amen because I don't want you to scare the person next to you. But some of you, your escalator goes faster than others. Don't say amen. You can just say ouch within. But you know who you are. Like, you know your escalator your escalator's got like a fifth gear. Like, without God, you're going to sin now. If that's you, then how should you chase after God? If your escalator towards sin is fast, then your chasing after God needs to be more intense. You can't afford to show up to church once a month. You can't afford to not go to Connect Group. You cannot afford not to get engaged. You cannot afford not to come to Kingdom Men and to women's activities and to everything you can do. Because you know, unless I'm working hard, my natural escalator goes quick. You need to know yourself. There's a war going on within us. And the bottom line is you decide which force wins. You with me? Now. So I want to talk about the war within. Everybody say the war within. Because if we're going to win in life, if we're going to win the ultimate prize and make it to heaven, we need to make sure that as we're living this life, that we are aware of the forces coming against us, trying to keep us from that ultimate goal. So winning the war within, I want to talk about four things. Four things. Number one, and I think it is really number one, it's the importance of the renewing of our mind. The importance of changing how we think. A lot of us, that's where the war is won or lost. If your thought process, if your thought patterns, if your thought tendencies skew negative or sinful, the Bible is very clear that thoughts precede actions. And beliefs precede thoughts. So thoughts are right in the center of where we go. So the renewing of our mind becomes very important. The second thing we have to work through is to get to a place where we once and for all break the strongholds in our own lives. Break the strongholds in our lives. Those areas where the enemy has fortified an area and protecting and harboring sin in our hearts, we have to destroy that. The third part is to learn to put faith over feelings.
Yes.
I feel the Spirit telling me we need to spend some time on that.
Yes.
Fourth, connected to that, is a decision, a daily decision to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Four things. I'll talk fast, listen fast. First one, everybody say renewing my mind.
Renewing my mind.
How many of you have already figured out that your thoughts control most things in your life? How many of you figure that out? Like the way I'm thinking. How many have been able to exercise the level of maturity where you can actually recognize yourself thinking wrong? Like you catch yourself. Like you don't need to be checked. You check yourself. Like, ooh, I'm being a jerk. Like, ooh, I'm being negative. Ooh, I'm being argumentative. Ooh, I'm being difficult. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm being difficult? Come on. I'm being difficult. I'm being difficult. I know enough of you, I know some of you really well, and I'm waiting. Husbands, wives, lift them up. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Here's what the Bible says. And I love the Bible. I love the Bible because it's so relevant to everyday life. This is a powerful verse. Romans 12:2 says this, in the context of renewing our mind. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Stop there. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. That implies that there are customs and behaviors that are pleasing to God, and there are customs and behaviors that are not pleasing to God. You get that? Amen? So don't copy the customs and behaviors of the world. Translation, don't just parrot or copy the things the world says and does that they enjoy. Mind you, the world's on this escalator going downwards. So don't copy that. Oh, but all my friends are doing it. Oh, but it's cool. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. The implication is that those behaviors and customs go against the word of God. So don't copy that. You have a choice. Amen? You have a choice. Number one, to recognize, well, Pastor, how do I know if those behaviors or customs are from the world or not? Read your Bible. The Bible will show you. Pray. The Spirit will show you. Yeah, that's not of God. That's not good for me. How many have already begun? For all of you who are newer to Christ, how many of you have begun to change customs and behavior since you started coming to church? Like you stopped doing some things because you recognize, you know what? God doesn't love that. That doesn't please God. All of you who are in love, say amen. You had a choice. When you're dating somebody, you know, it's casual at first. But when things start getting serious, right, you begin to adapt because you're like, oh, she doesn't like that. So I'm going to try to do less of that because she doesn't like it. And because I love her, I want to please her. He doesn't really like it when I do this. So I'm going to try to do that less because I want to please him. Does that sound right? Isn't that part of love? You're like, what? Whoa. Now, if you're like taking notes right now, we need a marriage seminar soon. The more you love somebody, the more you want to please them. Amen? Yes. Come on, Paul. Here comes not a trick question. When you really love somebody, you try to do more of the things that make them happy. Amen?
Amen.
So if you love God, if we make a decision to love God, you ought to get to know what are the things that make God happy. Amen? It's not because I'm trying to earn my salvation. I can't. I'm trying to please him out of the gratitude of the fact that I am saved. Get the difference?
Yes.
I'm not trying to earn his love. He already loves me. It's in response to that beautiful love I received. Like, what's the least I can do? If he loves me that much, if God has loved me that abundantly, if God has loved me so recklessly, if God has loved me with everything he has, what can I do in response to that love to say thank you? What can I do in response to that love to do something that pleases him? That's where this comes from. And so you're like, well, I don't know what God loves. Read the Bible. I don't know what he likes. It's right there. All that to say, if you love God, if you truly love God, then don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Because those things are against what God loves. It's like, if I love you, but I keep, let's say I'm dating Angie, and I say I love her, and I bring her flowers, and she's allergic to flowers. And because it's the first date, she's trying to be nice, and she's crying. And I'm like, oh, she's so touched. And at the end of the date, with all the love in her heart, she goes, I really appreciate this gesture of love. I know you meant it in the sweetest of ways, but I know we're new. It's our first date, so I just want to let you know I love them, but unfortunately, I'm allergic to these flowers. I'm allergic to flowers in general. Sam, the accountant, would say, cha-ching, I'm saving money. But the reality would be, if I listen to that, day two, if I show up with a bigger bouquet, what is she thinking? Date three, more flowers. What is she thinking? So when you say you love God and you show up to God with things you know don't please him, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. Somewhere between the words and the actions, there's a mismatch. Does that make sense? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Instead, option two, let God, what? Everybody say transform. Transform you into a new person. Woo! How many would love that? Like, I need to be a better version of myself. How do I do that? Oh my God, God, show me. God, speak to me. God, I want to hear your word. Here's his word. Renew your mind. Some people say, oh, I wish God would speak to me aloud. Renew your mind. Right there. You want God to speak aloud to you? Read the Bible out loud. Oh, God, I need a word. Read it out loud. You don't need a prophet or somebody to read the word. So let God transform you into a new person, a better person, a more godly person. How do I do that? By renewing your mind, by the transforming of our mind. So understand, this world has been contaminated. Amen? This world has been contaminated. And so the fact that we live in this world, we ought to recognize we need a God-led transformation, a renewal of our mind. And it says, you know, if you really want to transform, if you really want to be a better version of yourself, it begins with renewing of our mind to begin to do the things that are pleasing to God. As you do those things, your life improves, your life changes, your life elevates. And so all this happens when we begin to renew the way we think. Some of us have a very negative talk track. Some of us are always thinking worst case scenario. Some of us are always thinking the worst thing that can happen, or we assume the worst of intentions in anybody. That is a trap that will keep you locked up in a place of discontent. So you got to be very careful. So there needs to be a renewal of our mind. And notice why this renewing of our mind becomes so critical. So let God transform you into a new person, a better person, by renewing of your mind, renewing of your thoughts. If you allow God to do that, if you partner with God for that to happen, notice what happens. Then, everybody say then. And only then will you learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So think of your life. How many of us want our life to be good, pleasing, and perfect? Amen. We say amen to that. So if you say amen to that, you got to say amen to the stuff before it. Does that make sense? I'm trying to break it down as simply as I can. I want a good life. I want a pleasing life. I want a life that God considers to be right for me. I want that. I think we all say we want that. The way that happens is we have to renew our mind. Why do we have to renew our mind? Because we have a tendency to copy the behaviors and customs of this world. So therefore, renew your mind, and then God will show you the things you can't see. Just checking. So the war within starts there. Boy, if I go at this pace, we're going to be here for 3 hours. Anybody miss 3-hour services? That was a painful woo. Woo. All right, so step one is that renewal. And the reason why that becomes important is because for this second reason, is we need to get to a place in our lives where we need to start breaking strongholds. 2 Corinthians. For though we live in the world, say amen if you live in the world. Amen. Good. No aliens, good. Although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have what? Divine power to demolish strongholds. That phrase, demolish strongholds, is a military term. It literally means that if you're an army, you would go against an enemy that had a fortified city. Right? They have built up big, thick walls. And this means you come against us, an army, you come against those walls, and you begin to knock them down and tear them down so you can conquer that territory. And so the implication here is that in our lives, if you're not careful, the enemy will set up strongholds in certain corners of your heart. And let's say there's a certain sin you've been doing for a long time. The devil's going to try to protect that sin by building a wall around it, fortifying, building a stronghold around it. Maybe you had bitterness and anger towards somebody for a long time, and it's been there long enough that the devil recognizes that and says, you know what, I'm going to build some walls around that. I'm going to protect that anger. I'm going to protect that bitterness. Some of you haven't forgiven somebody you should have forgiven a long time ago, and it's ruining your life. It's crazy how when you don't forgive others, it's like if you're drinking the poison and waiting for them to die. Like you're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself more by not forgiving someone that did you wrong. But when you allow that unforgiveness to get roots in your heart, the devil begins to build a wall around it. And before you know it, you come to church, you come to God, you hear messages like today, and you begin to realize, well, wait a minute. There's no, like, I have all these fortresses. I have all these strongholds that over the years, and sometimes it's taken decades, brick by brick, the enemy's building up these strongholds in your life. And you can try all kinds of things, self-help books and this and that, and none of it is going to be able to truly demolish that because those are not carnal things. Those are spiritual things, but the Bible says that as much as those walls are real and how the enemy can fortify and try to protect some dark corners of our heart, the Word of God tells us that the weapons God has given us are mighty and strong to the power of God to demolish strongholds. The things you could not knock down on your own, God through His Spirit gives us the power to say, I will no longer do this thing. I will no longer harbor this sin in my my life. I will no longer act this way to my brother and sister. I will no longer go and do this thing that I know does not please God. I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the shame. I'm going to pray and fast and read the word of God, get the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to go against this stronghold and say, you've been in my life too long. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to come down. It's time for God to take control and reign over my entire heart. Anybody here this morning want to give your whole heart to God? So God has given us the power, if I say power, to destroy strongholds. I know it's been there for a long time. I know it's thick. I know it's tall. But not big enough for God. You're not going against it with a little BB gun against this thing. No. You got the power of the Word. You got the power of the Spirit. You got to connect with God. You got to appropriate the power of the Spirit of God to go against these things. So we have that amazing divine power to demolish strongholds. Uses the word, doubles up in the word. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Come on. How does this look like? You get this thought to do something sinful. How many get little thoughts to get to do sinful things? Unless you're Jesus, raise your hand. Right? We get little thoughts. But you know what this verse says? When you partner with God, you can get the little thought and say, little evil, devilish thought, I'm going to pin you down. Yep. And I'm going to make you obedient. Yep. I'm going to make you obedient to Christ. Take that little thought and make it say Jesus. You know what the powerful thing about this? You don't need a pastor or an army to do this. You, in your conviction and power and connection with God, you in relationship with God, when that negative thought comes, when that sinful thought comes, when that urge comes to do something sinful, you speak right to it until, in the name of Jesus, I command you, I take authority over you, and I make you captive to the obedience of Christ. Sit down. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
You have that. God has given you that through His Spirit. You're not weakling. You're not defenseless. You're not like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my. No, no, no. It's like you should say, oh my God. That's what winning looks like. Stop being a victim. Oh, the devil's after me. You should be after him. Not because you're mighty, but you got the big G behind you. He's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of him.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. It's like that old cartoon again. Remember Spike?
Oh, yeah.
The little dog? This is my friend Spike. Little dog was all tough because he had his big old bulldog behind him. He was picking fights with everybody because he had the big bulldog behind him. Amen?
Amen?
Well, you know you got protection. So we got a number one. Renew our mind. Secondly, we got to break down these strongholds in our lives once and for all. Thirdly, my goodness. So I told you that and I told you that. Okay, now. This is big.
Yes.
This is big. Word of God says, consider it, what?
Pure joy.
I like that qualification. Pure joy. My brothers and sisters, talking to church people. Amen? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, in life, even as you're trying to win and connect with God and get every area of your life in the right place, as you go through life, invariably, because we live in a fallen world, there will be troubles. There will be failures. There will be tragedies. Unfortunately, because of the sinful nature and the fallen nature of our world, bad things happen to good people. People make bad decisions. Bad things happen. We can't control that. It's the world we're in. And so even when you're trying to do everything well, and you're trying to please God, and you're renewing your mind, you're beginning to demolish some strongholds, as you're going through that journey, sometimes life happens, and trouble comes out of nowhere. So sometimes just fall down, you make mistakes, and failure hits, and sometimes, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, and sometimes unfairly it feels, tragedy strikes. You lose a loved one. Something unexpected happens, there's an accident. And that's painful. We're human. You're supposed to feel that. But the Bible says, even when difficult things happen, even when you have to go through that valley of the shadow of death, remember David said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know you're with me. Right? You know, whenever, as a child of God, listen to me, as a child of God, whenever God allows you, whenever God permits it for you to walk through a difficult valley, He always goes with you. He never sends you alone. And so He says, when you're going through difficult times as a believer, we have to change our mindset. And instead of staying forever trapped in a prison, in a stronghold of defeat, He suggests something almost heartless. He says, when you're going through difficult things, here's an idea. Rejoice. Well, that takes some renewing of my mind. Rejoice. Why? Because the testing of your faith, the exercise of your faith, will actually make you stronger. For those of you that go to the gym, I'll say those of us, but I don't want to brag. For those of you that go to the gym, you know when you're doing weights, it hurts, right? You're sore for 3 weeks and then you stop going. But if you keep going, that testing, that push actually builds up muscle. It's in that repetition that you build up your ability to persevere, to grow, to get stronger. So the Bible is very clear, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. So it says rejoice, because this actually will make you stronger. And not only that, God will use it for your ultimate good. God will actually use it for your ultimate good. And so we have to choose to live out through faith and not feelings. Because your feelings will betray you. Some of you don't read the Bible, but you read the book of Disney. And every princess will tell you, follow your heart. Which sounds innocent enough, except the Bible says your heart's wicked and deceitful. So no, right? We got to be careful not to allow our feelings to override our faith. And so feelings and faith kind of compete for the same space. And so when you're thinking about how to react to a difficult situation, you can react with feelings. Oh my God, I'm so bummed. Or you can react with faith. God, if you're allowing this to happen, something good's going to come out of this. Those are both equal choices all of you have access to. Amen? Amen. So the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And I've learned to do this years ago, and it's made my life infinitely better. Whenever I face a challenge, whenever I face a problem, whenever I'm in the middle of a situation, I've learned to turn it into a faith statement. We have a capacity problem. Last week, we had 1,400 people here in two services. It was crazy. No, don't clap, because make sure there's nobody from the city here. We broke all kinds of code. We had the lobby, second service lobby was packed. We had canopies into the courtyard. It was crazy. And so I could say, oh my God. You know what I said? After Sunday, you know what I prayed? I said, God, you have a problem, sir. This is your church. So if you're going to bring that many people, you need to find a spot for them. After all, it's God's house. How many know God needs a bigger house? Amen. That's how I pray. Oh my God. No, oh my God. Right? Those are the choices. And so you live by faith, not by sight. When problem comes, it's to say, oh, woe is me. Oh, my God, I'm a victim. Oh, my God, the world's so unfair. Oh, you say, oh, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this, God. I'm going to sit back and watch you turn this into my ultimate good. God, I can't wait to see how you're going to turn this situation around. But you know what? I'm not going to wait to see it right now in the midst of my pain. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to thank you in advance, because by this point, folks, some of us have been serving God long enough to know God's been doing this for a long time. Some of us have a lot of history with God. Time over and over and over again, God's come through. Some of you have a lifetime of history where God has proven himself faithful. When God's not done, I know it's not for all of you, because some of you are brand new to God, brand new to faith. But hey, where's my OG Christians here? Anybody here walking with God for some time? You know, by this point in our life, that when something difficult comes my way, I'm no longer having faith. No, I don't have faith. I don't need faith. I have confidence. Why? Because I know God did it before and before and before, and he's going to do it again. So I'm not shaking. I'm not worried. I'm saying, God, I've seen you come through for me many, many times before. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that the arm is not shortened. You're still the same awesome, mighty God. You're going to do it again. You know what? I'm going to praise you right now, because I just know you're going to come through. Confidence. How many more times does God need to prove himself faithful to you to begin to have confidence that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm done, because I trust him. That's important for us. Faith over feelings. Ooh. Last one. Important for all of us to learn to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit, what? Think about that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in the next 6 months have important decisions to make? Just raise your hand. You have important decisions, whatever it is, important decisions. So here's some advice for you. Yes, you got to do your analysis, do your spreadsheets, do your research, do your work. Don't be lazy, amen, because God's not going to do the research for you. Stop praying for things you should be doing, amen? Oh, I want God to give me a job. Have you applied anywhere? No, I'm just waiting on God. God ain't going to fill up the application for you. Go fill it up. Do your part. Let God do his, amen? So let... You know, when I was reading this week, that word of this whole verse, that little tiny three-letter word hit me hard. You see it? So I say, what does that mean? Folks, the Holy Spirit wants you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to show you. The Holy Spirit wants to clear a path. The Holy Spirit wants to give you clarity and confidence in that the choices and decisions you should make. So this is not pray for or Holy Spirit, would you please? There's some things you pray for, and there's other things you need to do. This is one of those. You get that? So I say, let, everybody say let. The Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You see that? Let. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature. Where? Whose cross? My God. Every sin you might be struggling with, if you take that sin with you here, you bring it to this altar, say, God, I'm going to nail it to your cross. And let your blood cover that. Let your blood cleanse that. Let your blood erase that. What would happen? That's why the word is so powerful. If you do it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified it. They crucified him there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. What a powerful verse, amen? Allow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to guide you. I'm telling you, it works. He's led me in my life professionally, spiritually, relationally, in every area of my life. God has led me. And I just been, that's why you ought to be a fool as a Christian to take credit for the good things in your life. You know that he's the source of every good thing. He's the one that's led. He's the one that got you there. Amen? You know, like when you use, anybody use Waze to go to a place you've never been to before, especially a difficult place to get to? And you're like, hey, you've never been there before. You don't know how to get there. Different city, right? And then you're with your spouse or with your boyfriend, whatever, and you're using Waze or Google Maps, whatever, and you get there. Yeah, I got us here. You had no idea where you were going. You've never been there before. Thank Waze. Amen. Thank Google Maps. You were just obedient. Have you ever had Waze say, go this way? No, I'm going to go this way. And you realize there's an accident over there. And then you're mad. You're stuck in traffic. You didn't follow. You should have gone this way. Waze. Amen. Follow God's ways. So as we come to a close this morning, this concept, and this is so powerful, just nailing our sinful desires to his cross. How cool is that? We get to pile on, right? Because the Bible says he died for the sins of the world. Right? The Bible says he was tempted in every possible way, yet he remained without sin. So that means whatever passion and sin you're dealing with, he already nailed it and won. So nail him there and just follow the Holy Spirit's lead in every area of your life. So as I close, we talked about these four things. I want you to think about the one that you need to work on the most. I want you to think about the one, pray about the one that God has spoken to you about this morning. The Holy Spirit's here. And the Holy Spirit points you in the right direction, guides you. So as we all stand, I'm going to ask.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.